Right. Okay, good evening. We are now looking at the end of chapter 34. And so that's page 156 to 155 to 156. And we are five lines down from the top. It's got 86 on the top of the page. Now, the way this chapter began is the idea that on the one hand the person sees the image of the tremendous greatness of the patriarchs and the matriarchs. I was just looking outside where it says about this school that there are four houses for this girls' school, and it's one after each of the matriarchs, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel and Leah, and each one typifies certain good qualities, and so that's what the girls are striving to express in their lives. But what it says here in Tanya is that in fact the patriarchs and the matriarchs, the Avos and Imahos, Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel and Leah, they express the idea of a total bonding with God in every detail of their lives. And that is the image for us as people to imagine that this is really what we're aspiring to. The only thing is that when we consider the way in which we actually live, we see that we are very limited and we're not able to do that in its full sense, or anywhere near its full sense. And so the point is that a person says to himself, this is what it says earlier on in this chapter 34, that since I can't really do this in the total sense that it applies as regards actually the patriarchs and matriarchs, nonetheless what I will do, I'm going to make a dwelling for Hashem in my personal life. So the point is that by the fact that the person does what they can in terms of learning Torah and davening and thinking about Hashem and having a sense of awareness of Hashem, even though it's nothing like the infinite self-surrender of Abraham or Sarah or Isaac or Rebecca and these immensely great people and other great tzaddikim, we're doing what we can, and that little bit that we can, that itself is tremendously valuable. It's just an amazing thing that a person here in this world, surrounded by all the pressures of what human life means here in this world, is actually thinking about Hashem and caring about Hashem and doing something or other, whether it's learning Torah or keeping mitzvahs. That is what the person is achieving.
Thank you.
Right, so now we're on page 86 at the top and 156 at the bottom of the English translation, 155, 156, five lines down, the last word at the end of the line. That's where we got up to last week. And on the right hand side, on the English, it's the second paragraph, and if Hashem, if God will lavish. Right. Ve'im yachiv Hashem loy oid. If Hashem gives us a little bit more room, as it were, to be devoted to Hashem in our daily life. Azai toho yodayim Yosef Oimet. Do you have that next page? That's okay. Then, the one who has pure hands, that's this phrase, The one who has pure hands makes more effort. Or machshava tova, and a good thought is joined, a good intention is joined to action. So these are phrases, the idea from the person with the pure hands does more effort, that's a verse in the Tanakh. And the in the Bible, and it tells us in the sages tell us in the Talmud, a good thought is considered as if one has done it, or it helps one actually do it. V'gam shah hayoyim kuloy, and the rest of the day. So oisik b'masa umatn, when one is involved in ordinary worldly things. In other words, let's just get this straight. Some of the day you can identify is dedicated to Hashem. You're sitting learning Torah. This moment we're sitting learning Torah, that's phenomenal. We could have been shoveling coal, if you remember what coal was many hundreds of years ago. Right? We could have been shoveling coal up to now the whole day, but now we're sitting and learning Tanya. That's phenomenal. So here we are doing something which is obviously a very spiritual thing. Or a person prays, there's a certain time they pray, a certain time they say blessings. When a person eats a meal, and then one says a blessing after the meal, Birchat Hamazon, grace after meal. That's time that we are actually spending speaking to Hashem, thinking about Hashem, communicating with Hashem. But if so,
I have to say myself before. Can't help it.
Yeah, so, if we've got that bit of the day which we can identify, or little bits of the day that we can identify as tangibly spiritual, then Hashem can help us. That the rest of the day, when we're involved in worldly things, now it might be doing business, or it might be doing shopping, it might be doing whatever we're doing in life, it becomes a dwelling place for Hashem to dwell. Why? Well, particularly when we're considering any kind of effort which involves earning money, b'nesinas hatzdaka, by the fact that we're giving charity, sheyitn miyagiyoy, we give from our effort, and as a result of our effort, we earn some money, and we then give from that money, we give a certain proportion in charity, shehi mimidoysov shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Giving charity is one of God's midas, one of God's attributes. What is that attribute? Mahu rachum. The sages tell us, just as God is merciful, so we should be merciful. As it says in the sacred book, Tikune Zoya, Chesed Droya Yemina, that kindness is, so to speak, the right arm of the structure of the Sfirot. The Sfirot, the sacred spheres, have a form which is, in some ways, it's the root of the nature of the body. So there are aspects of the body that one is able to see the spiritual root on an infinitely exalted level. One can see them in the structure of the divine sphera. So kindness is the right arm. Now, even though the person is only giving a proportion of their earnings to charity, now the proportion that he mentions is a very high proportion. It is a fifth. More commonly, people work out a tenth of what they earn, and they try to give a tenth of their earnings in charity. And people sort of keep a calculation, you know, what comes in, and what they've given in charity. You know, so a person might have a standing order that they're giving in charity, or they give every day a certain amount, and they add it up, and they try and see that it comes out to a tenth, or a little bit more than a tenth. Now, some people, instead of giving a tenth, they give a fifth. And that's the image that he's, the ideal that he's giving to us here. So he's saying, even though a person only gives a fifth or a tenth, Hari Hachoimesh Mali Imoy, that fifth lifts up with it Kol Ha'aba Yodos, all the other four parts La Hashem to God. Or you would say, if you're giving a tenth, the tenth lifts up all the other 9 out of 10 parts to God. Liyos Mochen L'Shifto Yisvorach, so that it should be a dwelling place for God. In other words, if you imagine, I'm so sorry about this cough.
All right.
Did you get in Israel?
Yeah.
I came myself before.
If you imagine that we're dealing with areas of our life, so he's already said that, you know, there's an area of our life where we are learning Torah or we're davening. Okay. So now we come to the more ordinary, so to speak, secular dimension of our life, where we're just earning money or just doing ordinary everyday things. But by giving tzedakah, which is something sacred and something which bonds with God and relates to God's mercy, by giving tzedakah, which is a certain proportion of our effort, and incidentally it might not only be financial tzedakah, if you're helping, like in the day center over here, someone donates of their time looking after people and caring, that is also tzedakah. You see, there the person is doing something which they, instead of just doing it for ourselves selfishly, one is doing it on behalf of other people. And each one of us is able to do things in various different ways like that, that the time and the effort of the person is taken up with kindness, kind deeds, acts of goodness and kindness.
So it doesn't always necessarily mean money.
It's not only money. No.
It's giving your time. It's giving something of yourself as well to other people.
What happens if
I've done a lot of that as well. I used to do a lot in the sense.
Yeah, I mean, it could be making a phone call to someone.
I used to do a lot of
someone is lonely and you phone them up and you talk with them and you make them feel a bit better.
It's giving time as well.
Yeah.
What happens if you do all of that and then the other side you lose your temper?
Well, you see, we're physical human beings, which means that we're made up. We're made up of positive and negative aspects within ourselves. And if you measure what we do during the day, you know, we might. I once heard the Rebbe speak about the Rebbe. He didn't speak about losing one's temper. He said a person goes through 23 hours, 59 minutes, and almost the whole day doing wonderful, good, dedicated things. And the last minute, he wastes.
That makes sense, actually.
He wastes the last minute.
And what did he say about that?
Well, it's part of the challenge of life. You know.
You do it, you mack up. you do it all right, and then something else.
Yeah, but it doesn't cancel out the good that you do.
That's what I need to do.
You see, the good.
That's what I want you to do.
In fact, there's a very interesting teaching, also from the Rebbe, very, very interesting idea. Now, if you go back through the generations, so there was a lot of good that people did, and that good is eternal. And it means that we are standing on the mountains of good, the shoulders of the giants, so to speak. We're standing on the mountains of goodness that from previous generations. And all that is part of our resource today in order to bring the world to the redemption, to the next stage in history. So then the Rebbe said, wait a minute, what about the bad things people did? People might have done a lot of bad as well. He said, the good is eternal. Bad doesn't have any real existence. Bad is darkness. Good is light. Light is real. Darkness is simply an absence of light.
But it harms other people.
It does harm other people. But it is not a real quality. Ultimately, the negative is transformed into positive, and the darkness itself does not have any lasting effect. You're in a dark room, then you switch on the light, the darkness is gone. You just have light. Conversely, if there was a light and you switch it off, the energy of that light is not lost. I mean, scientists would say that the light continues to shine, you know, and like might be shining a million miles away. That's the energy of the light is always there. So the energy of goodness is always there. It has an effect.
The thing is, I think in life people tend to dwell on the things that are wrong, the bad things. Bad things are news. Good things that people do are just very often lost, you know. And they do a lot of good things. They do one bad thing, and that bad thing is noticed.
You mean in newspapers?
Well, it could be even with a relationship, even. You know, you could do a lot of things that are decent, then do one thing that's wrong, and it cancels out the whole lot.
Okay, well, look, there are two things. I mean, one is newspapers. Newspapers,
oh, yes,
unfortunately, tend to focus on
true.
Negative news,
yes.
Right? And maybe that's one of the reasons why newspapers are thrown away.
I mean,
there are archives where people keep newspapers in the archive, and you can go and look at what the Evening Standard said in 1952. But for the most part,
do like
long
that,
ago it got used to wrap up fishing ships,
yes,
and that was the end of that.
Remember those days?
Yes, that's right.
I remember those days.
Yeah, kosher, of course.
Fishing ships, newspaper.
Yeah.
Parents,
however, with a relationship, Rini, that is a great challenge.
Yes.
And it's very true that people sometimes something goes wrong, and it's that wrong thing
it's
that
the wrong
becomes
thing that
a
problem. They notice. Yes.
Well, with the help of Hashem, one should find ways, you know, if possible, one finds ways to repair them, you know. And
yeah, that's right.
And there are, you know, sometimes some very moving stories about, you know, two brothers who didn't talk to each other for many, many years because of something that happened.
I've had that in my family. Yeah,
well, every family.
A mother and a brother and sister.
And then what happens?
And then somehow or other something happens and puts it all right.
I think sometimes closer to home, I thought, my mother had that overshadowing. My mother had a brother. I never talked to him for about 25 years. Something, I don't know what happened, Roybus in the family, something happened. And unfortunately, my mother's other brother passed away, and this other brother came to the Lavoya. The first time, they hadn't spoken for 25 years. And the brother came, it was his brother, still his brother, and he came to the Lavoya after 25 years.
Okay. Never spoke, like
brother
that.
And sister.
Well, with the help of Hashem, we should
like
try.
It just happens, in fact, but it's so, you know,
it's
really a shame because it's a brother and sister. It's such a waste.
So how can we have a perfect world if we don't have perfect families?
Well, you see, let's translate this back into our relationship with Hashem as well. A person has, you know, there are good things going in our relationship with Hashem, and then comes along something bad, some point where we mess up. But nonetheless, the good is good, and let's focus on the good. We'll try and repair the points where we mess up. We'll try and improve. But wherever we are, and whatever we're doing, we can consider that the good, you see, the one-fifth which is being given in Tzedakah, that's the image he's using here, that one-fifth lifts up all the other four-fifths, so that everything in one's earning of money, all the effort that a person goes to earning money, becomes part of giving this Tzedakah. Kenoida Maimer Hazal, as is known, the saying of the sages, you got that in the middle of the page?
Yeah, I think I got here.
Yeah, here, yeah, that's right. Kanoida Maimo Razal. Yeah, lovely. Do you have it? as is known, the saying of the sages. It's just, as is known from the rabbinic statement, do you see that in the English? The mitzvah of charity is the equivalent of all the offerings in the temple. ubakobonos, and when giving an offering in the temple. It's an amazing thing that used to happen in the temple and will happen when the temple is rebuilt. Haya kol hachai oyle lahashem, the whole animal world would be elevated to God al yedei behema achas, through offering one animal. They would offer a lamb in the morning, and that lamb would lift up all the other creatures of the world, v'chol, all the other animals, v'chol atzameach, and the whole vegetable world would be lifted up to God, al yedei yisoren soiles echon, through the fact that certain vegetable things, growing things, were taken and offered on the altar, such as a tenth of a measure of flour, which is from wheat, bolul b'shemen, mixed with olive oil. So they would have the wheat and the olives, making the olive oil, and this would be offered on the temple as well, incidentally, as well as some salt, so that you had the animal, the vegetable, the salt is the mineral, and then the human being bringing the offering. So though it's only a little bit of each, but that elevates the whole of existence. The animal world, the vegetable world, the mineral world, and the human world are all being elevated at that moment. So you can have something tiny, which is positive, which elevates everything else around it. And so therefore the good points within one's day, they elevate everything else within one's day. Now you could say, all right, well, I didn't have to mess up, you know, or I didn't have to mess up to the level of, 80%. It could have only been 20%. But the fact is, you know, so we should be improving. Everything spiritual is trying to improve. So we should be trying to improve. But don't worry. At this moment, when the person has a certain little proportion of their time and of their activity, but that is itself, and in fact it's more. I mean, when you consider what people do with their lives, in fact a lot of what they're doing is really goodness in different ways. So this is an incredible thing, that one's whole day is being transformed. We're not on the level of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel and Leah, but nonetheless, following their example, we are trying to make our days and our years, our lives, into spiritual expressions which express godliness here in this world. Umilvanze. And apart from this, Hari Bashas HaTorah Batfila, going back to the idea that we were learning Torah and we were davening. Now that's a fascinating thing. What gives us the energy to learn Torah? We're sitting here learning Torah, thank God. What gives us the energy to do that? It's the food and drink that we get. Yes, we have to be healthy. We have to, if a person doesn't feel well, God forbid, they won't be able to come out. They won't be able to come and learn Torah. So, or even if they're learning Torah at home, they need to have the energy in them in order to learn Torah or to daven, to pray or to do a mitzvah, whatever it is. What we eat and drink, and all the different aspects of our physical life, it's all sharing in that process of connecting with God through the learning of Torah. Kol ma she'ochel b'shos, everything the person ate and drank, v'nehneh, and enjoyed in life, me'aba hayodes, from everything else in their daily life, lebrius gufoy, for the health of their body, all of that is also part of the service of God. So in other words, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the author of Tanya, is looking at this in such a way that we can see everything in our life somehow or other connected to the process of bonding with Hashem, whether it's through learning Torah or whether it's through praying or it's saying blessings before meals, after meals, or it's through giving charity, or it's through doing some other kind of mitzvah, mitzvah, or it's through phoning someone else and making them feel good. And one is aware that doing this, of course we do that because we've got a kind heart, but more than that, we're doing that because Hashem is bonding us together with the other person, and Hashem is telling us that the right way to behave is to have avos yisrael, to have love with one's neighbor. Now, so therefore we're fine, so that's wonderful. So we are really wonderful people, and everything that we do is so positive, and it's very beautiful, and it's just amazing what wonderful people we are. Okay, so let's just see the next paragraph. V'hine. Now here we have the double, you know, the double perspective of Hasidic thought, which is a very important thing. V'hine b'chol pirutei minei simchos hanefesh. With all these detailed modes of joy of the soul, hanal, which we mentioned, ein mehen mania, they don't prevent. In other words, we're very happy. We're very happy because we learn Torah, we think about Hashem, even when we're standing at a bus stop, we can be thinking about Hashem at that moment and be filled with the most tremendous joyfulness. But nonetheless, ein mehen mania, they do not prevent liyos nivze be'einov nimos. That which is loathsome in God's eyes, we loathe. And in this case, it means ourselves. To see how small we are at the same time. V'lev nishbar, and a broken heart. Though we have a broken heart. Why do we have a broken heart? Because we see that there are so many positive things we could have done which we didn't do, in all kinds of different ways.
Oh, is that the reason? I thought because we've hurt other people.
Well, if we've hurt other people, then that's also part of it. That adds on to the accounting book. You know, so there's a little account. There's an account of all the good things, and there's an account of the things that should have been good. So among the things that should have been good are things that there are sins of omission and sins of commission. There are things we left out that we should have done something good and we didn't do it. Or the bad things we did. We did do them, unfortunately. So some of this hurting of other people is sometimes imaginary, Marion.
Why do other people, you know, punish you?
I see. You mean they get very upset about them. Well,
is it like saying sometimes we should have done that or we should have done that, but sometimes you make a decision, you think, well, at that time that's the decision I made, you know, it might not be in the right one, but that's, you know, that's what I decided to do. And when you look back, you know, I don't know if it works like that.
Well, that's what happens.
But, you know, sometimes you think, oh, you were saying, you know, I think, but at that time, that's the decision. When you look back, oh, God, I shouldn't have done that. That was the wrong thing. Maybe I shouldn't have done it. I should have done that. I think that was the wrong thing to do. But you didn't think that at that time.
Well, for this is one of the reasons why... Sorry?
Is that, I don't know, that's, you know, is that...
Listen, what you're describing is the way people live.
Yeah.
The question is... If we're facing a situation now, what should one do?
Yeah.
Now, one of the concepts in Jewish thought is to have a rabbi or a rebbetzin, or a good friend, what's called a mashpia, a guide, that one talks to about decisions, and you like share the burden, as it were, and discuss with the other person, and the other person may present an objective insight, and if they are, you know, a little bit more learned of Torah, their perspective may, you know, well give some kind of extra spiritual point that one might not have thought about. And you take that on board. Now, you then act. I mean, many actions, many dilemmas that a person is faced with. No course of action is perfect. You know, two different people in your family are making a wedding on the same day and you can only go to one wedding, which one should you go to? Should it be this person whom, you know, and each one there's a whole history to the relationship and the other one's going to be very offended if you don't come, you know, so what should you do?
That is a really quiet thing about, you know, you do thing which is the right thing, but that other person, that family may think you should have given more attention to me.
That's it, that's what, yeah, or that's what Dr.
You, you know, and you sort of got this sort of big guilt feeling that you've done too much there and not enough there. You can't be in two places at once.
But that often happens like on a date, you've got two engagements. You've got an engagement to go to one thing and then you get an invitation or something at the last minute to go to somewhere else, to another function or something. So what do? You have to weigh up what is more important to you. What do you think is more important to you? Are these people closer? Are these people not so close to you? What do you, you know?
Well,
you know,
this is where,
you know,
see, the Rebbe gave the advice.
It's very difficult to decide
what's important to the other person as well.
Yeah, what to go.
Yeah, I mean, well, you're thinking of it both ways.
You often get two engagements I've had on the one
you're
day.
You're thinking what will make them happy and also what will make them unhappy.
Yeah, this is it.
The fact that you don't come, you know, very much upset. So.
It's very difficult because I've often had it. I've had two things on the one day. I think, what do I go to this? Yeah, or do I go to this or do I go to this? I've had it myself.
Well, what do you do? Tell yourself
why. Well, let me make the suggestion. You know, which you discuss it with someone, because the other person can just help give another viewpoint. You know, just I can help. You're the one making the decision, but you discuss with the other person. It just helps seeing the situation in a more rounded way, because each of us, whatever situation we're in, we are caught in that situation, and we may see it only from one angle, even though we can see two sides to it. And it may take a long time to explain to the other person all the different ins and outs, you know, why it's so important that I should go there, and on the other hand, why it's so important that I should go there. And discussing it with another person is a step towards making the right kind of decision. Because sometimes we make decisions, we do things, and then we regret them, and then you mentioned to someone else, you know, you think, why didn't I talk to someone about it?
That you can't please
everybody. No, you can't.
Nobody can do that.
Yeah, but
you can be the best science person in the world.
Yeah, but sometimes there are strategies. Everybody. You know, you might, to one person you write a letter, and to the other person you go, you know,
I mean, if you speak to someone, maybe someone that's a little bit learned as well, you've got a different viewpoint.
Yes,
they'll tell you, and you may sort of see it from a different viewpoint altogether. How you?
And also because they're not caught up in the same situation, they are that much more free to evaluate it. That's the thing. We don't have, you know, when we're not, you know, one person might be very. Focused on their own comfort or their own something, even though this situation is really a difficult situation which goes beyond one's own comfort, but nonetheless another person outside is looking at it different. More objectively. Alright, but however the person still has what is basically they are aware of their own deficiencies. And, you know, there are some things you can't tear yourself in half and you can't be in two places at once. But if we look through the days and the weeks, we might find situations where we could have done something a bit better and we didn't, for one reason or the other. And so this can be, now he's going to tell us something very remarkable. We can have a negative view, seeing our deficiencies, and we can be joyful at the same time. And that is one of the deep secrets in spiritual life.
Can you repeat that? Sorry, just
we can have a we can see our own deficiencies and not be fooled about them and really see them very critically, and at the same time we can be joyful in closeness to Hashem. Now how do we do both at the same time? Let's see what he says. So it can be nivze be'ein of nimos v'leiv nishba. We can have a broken heart, v'ruach nemucha, a very low spirit. B'shas ha'simcha mamash, at the very time of joy. Ma'acha, because ki ha'yoyse nivze be'ein of. The idea that one feels, one sees one's own deficiencies, hu mitzad ha'guf, is because of the body, our body, b'nefesh ha'bahamis, and our animal soul. That's the part of us which tends to be deficient spiritually. V'heyoyse b'simcha, but being joyful, hu mitzad nefesh elokis, is because of our divine soul. V'nitzitz elokus ha'melubashba, and the divine spark which is enclosed in it, lahachiyusa kanal, to give it life, as we mentioned above in chapter 31. V'chi ha'gavna, and simile. And that's how it says, isa and simile, isa b'zoya. It's, we learn in the Zoya a beautiful phrase. B'chia tekiya b'liboy, weeping is lodged in my heart, misitzra da, from this side. V'chedva tekiya b'liboy, and joy is lodged in my heart, misitzra da, on the other side. So we can have joy and weeping at the same time.
It's in Tehillim. You go to sleep at night weeping, you wake up in the morning dancing, or no,
yes,
rejoicing. Is that what you told me?
The it's in Shemalas.
Oh,
is it that?
So it's doing with your sackcloth.
Yeah. Hazorim Badima Barina Yitzor, those who sow with tears, with joy they reap. But that's at two different times. Whereas here it's saying even at the same time you can have a tremendous joyfulness in Hashem, and at the same time it doesn't make you big headed. You can have a great joyfulness from Hashem because we're sitting learning Torah. It's the most incredible joyful thing. But we can also be aware that there's this that we should have done, that we should have done. And so therefore one can have this quality of joyfulness and weeping at the same time. Now it's actually very difficult to achieve because most people are either one thing or the other, and if you start talking about depressing things, people get depressed. But in terms of us trying to reach exalted spiritual heights, what he's telling, which is how this chapter 34, which we've now finished, what, so the advice that Rabbi Shneur Zalman is saying, yes, we want to reach exalted spiritual heights, and they elude us completely. Okay, we focus on the little bit that we do, and we see that the positive things we do are very valuable, and not only that, but even they have an effect on everything else that we do, that if you give a certain proportion of one's earning to charity, it elevates all the other nine-tenths. If you give one-tenth in charity, so the nine-tenths is elevated and is also made more spiritual, because every pound you earn becomes part of the charity you give, because a proportion of what you're earning goes to charity. In the same way, in all other aspects of good deeds, the positive thing that one is doing is helped by the food that one ate, and all the other aspects of one's life join together. The fact that you were able to relax helps you 10 minutes later doing something positive because you had those few minutes to relax. So in other words, everything works together. At the same time, so that makes us look perfect, wonderful. But at the same time, we can, if we look at ourselves a little bit with more critical eyes, we can see more holes.
Oh yes. Look at yourself critically, it's not that wonderful.
True, yeah.
When I first visited the Lubavitcher Rebbe in 1973, and I went in to see the Rebbe in Yechidus for 9 minutes, like just being alone with the Rebbe in the Rebbe's room. And when I came out, I said, I wrote down, I think, the Rebbe lets you see as much of yourself that you can bear.
Yes. Yeah, it makes
you know,
sense.
That was the the quality.
Yeah.
Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, the chief rabbi, he mentioned.
Do you come out really despising yourself?
Well, one second. He mentioned that when he visited the Rebbe, he had visited a number of famous rabbis and leaders in the United States, and then he met the Rebbe, and he said the Rebbe made him aware of himself and what he himself was doing.
I think I read
that. The other leaders, he saw what great, impressive people, so intelligent. But the Rebbe, the force of his meeting with the Rebbe was to throw the spotlight on him. And that really is something that many people reported about the Rebbe.
You mentioned that, didn't you, as well?
Yeah, yeah.
The Fractured World, I
think. He's mentioned it in print. He also often speaks about it. So the same way, this quality of seeing one's own flaws, to whatever extent we're able to see that, that it shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't be too much, because if we get too depressed, then we won't be able to function. But what it's telling us here in Tanya, at the end of chapter 34, which is well worth remembering, is that the Zohar says that we can be weeping on one side of our heart at our own flaws and our own inadequacies and deficiencies and what we did wrong and the harm we caused and so on. And we can also be joyful that this minute, at this moment, and the next moment, I'm going to make a dwelling for Hashem here in this world. Okay.
Amen.
Thank you very much. It's all right. Okay.